ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. सो टुडे ऐ हैव बीन आस्क्ड टू गिव ब्रह्मचारी क्लास. सो ऑफ कोर्स you all be hearing classes from different devotees about Brahmacharya Ashrama. And also this Brahmacharya Ashrama is very important in the sense this is the foundation of human form of life. In Brahmacharya Ashrama, how we have been trained up, accordingly will continue our rest of our life in Krishna consciousness. If we are not properly trained up, then it is very difficult to maintain a Krishna conscious life. Of course, the Brahmacharya Ashrama period, which is generally considered from 5 to 25 years, that was in Vedic system. But since this Varnashrama system is no more prevalent in Kali Yuga, that's why Srila Prabhupada wanted to introduce it in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So at least the newcomers will be trained up in Brahmacharya Ashrama, and then they can choose their ashram later on. Once they understand the goal of life, that we have to serve Krishna, develop love for Krishna, and go back to Krishna. This material world is not meant for us. That's what Srila Prabhupada used to say, this place is not for a gentleman to live. You finish up your business as soon as possible and go back to Krishna. Because generally we want material enjoyment in material world. That's why we are here in this material world. But it doesn't matter how much you endeavor for material enjoyment. You'll never be happy in this material world. That's why it is intelligent that a person, if he really wants to become happy, then he should take shelter of the Supreme Person who is happiness personified, Anandamaya Abhyasa. Lord Krishna, his pleasure personified, and all happiness is only coming from him. So an intelligent person will take shelter of the pleasure personified and serve him. Then he can really get happiness, transcendental happiness. Because this material happiness is anyway temporary. And specifically in this material world, we see that people, the greatest happiness people try to derive in sex life. That's why the attraction is there between man and woman, boy and girl. And they think by engaging in sex life they can become happy. But they don't consider that just to have some pleasure from sex life, which is considered the highest pleasure in material calculation, they have to undergo so much trouble just to derive this little happiness, few minutes happiness. They have to undergo so much trouble through their entire life. They don't understand. Once they enter into Grihastha Ashram, then they realize that why did I enter into Grihastha Ashram? It's so much problem. Actually, those who have not entered into Grihastha Ashram and those who are trying to remain Naishtika Brahmachari for their entire life, they are the most intelligent people. Because by not entering into Grihastha Ashram, you can get rid of 50% material problems, or we can say 75%. 50 to 75% we can get rid of material problems which derives from household life and which distracts one from Krishna consciousness. So, and then another 25% or 50% you have to struggle with your mind and senses. That is there. So no life in material world is trouble free. The brahmacharis, vanaprasthis and sannyasis, they are not allowed to have sex life. So 50% or 75% problems are over for them. But another 25 or 50% problems, they have to struggle with their mind. They have to struggle with their senses. And if they can overcome that, they can become the happiest person in this material world. So, that's why there are so many rules and regulations for each ashram. For Brahmacharya ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, Sannyasa ashram, there are so many rules and regulations. Actually, when Lord Krishna was about to depart, he was ending his earthly pastimes, and Uddhava could understand, though he did not tell Uddhava that he is going to end his pastimes, his most intimate friend Uddhava, but still Uddhava could understand Lord Krishna's mind, and he followed Lord Krishna. And where Krishna was sitting to end his in Pravas Kshetra, to end his earthly pastimes, Uddhava went there and he asked many questions. Like Arjuna asked Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. In the same way, Uddhava asked many intimate questions to Krishna, and Krishna answered all those questions to Uddhava. That is called Uddhava Gita. So, Uddhava said to Lord Krishna that, my dear Lord, you are going to very soon end your earthly pastimes. And the knowledge you have imparted through the ages is going to be lost very soon. That Kali Yuga is approaching. So for the benefit of this people of this material world in Kali Yuga, please you give that knowledge again. So people can be benefited by this. So Uddhava was asking many questions, and among all those questions, one question was about the duties of different varnas and ashrams. And Lord Krishna was very happy to answer Uddhava's questions. So, Lord Krishna spoke about this varnasram system. How this helps one to become Krishna conscious. Because the goal of all varnas and all ashramas is sansiddhi haritosanam. To please the Supreme Lord Hari, that is the goal of all varnas and all ashrams. The four varnas, chaturvarnam maya srishta guna karma vivayasa, the four varnas according to guna and karma Lord Krishna created. So Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra, then four ashrams, Brahmacharya ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram and Sannyasa ashram. So in every varna and in every ashram, the goal is to satisfy Lord Krishna. So according to one's desire, one may enter into different ashrams. Like if someone is trying to surrender fully to Krishna's order, if someone is trying to surrender to Guru and his order throughout his life, then he can remain brahmachari and then enter into sannyasa ashram. He doesn't have to go through grihastha ashram and then vanaprastha ashram, then sannyasa ashram. But who is not surrendered fully and he has material desires to fulfill, then after proper training in brahmacharya ashram, one can enter into grihastha ashram. But in grihastha ashram also, there is no license that only one can have sex enjoyment. There are so many restrictions even in grihastha ashram. If someone is not following those restrictions prescribed by Lord Krishna himself, then naturally he will fall down from his position. So grihastha ashram means more responsibility, not enjoyment. More responsibility. A grihastha has to maintain the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis. So he has to maintain his own family, and then also he is supposed to maintain his three ashrams by earning money. And also as far as sex life is concerned, for a grihastha it has been prescribed in the scripture that one can have only once in a month when the wife is fertile. Putrarthe kriyate bharya. Only for begetting child one can have sex life, otherwise not. So there are strict restrictions are there for grihasthas. And all the time with his wife, if he is compatible one, then he should perform activities to please Krishna, spiritual activities to please Krishna. That's why it is stated that the grihastha should have compatible wife to cultivate Krishna consciousness. If wife is not compatible, then the life is spoiled. And it is very difficult in Kali Yuga to get a compatible wife with same nature, same mentality. Very difficult. So anyway, we are supposed to discuss about brahmacharis. So Lord Krishna, while answering Uddhava's question, he mentioned that different ashrams are actually coming from him. He is the source of everything. And Krishna, in his universal form, he is all pervading throughout the material universe. And Krishna says that grihasrama jaganata. That this grihastha ashram, household life, is coming from Krishna's jagana, means thigh. And then Brahmacharyam Hrudo Mama, Krishna says, those who are performing Brahmacharya Vrata, means a life of celibacy, they are sitting or they are coming from my heart. Krishna is giving so much importance for a life of celibacy. So he says that Brahmacharyam Hrudo Mama. The brahmacharis or the life of celibacy brahmacharya is my heart, coming from my heart. So that means Krishna is very favorable to the brahmacharis, those who have dedicated their life for his service. And then bhakshasthalat banevasah. And those who are residing in the forest means banaprastis. Those who have renounced household or life and have gone to the forest to cultivate Krishna consciousness, they are called banaprastis. So initially the banaprastis may take their wife with them, visit different places of pilgrimage, but later on he has to leave the wife under the responsibility of a grown-up son and he can cultivate Krishna consciousness. Of course in the history we see in some cases like the great kings, they used to take their wives, and both wife and husband, they both will perform austerity and go back to Godhead. There are few cases are like that. But mostly the banaprastis, they renounce household life and go to the forest to cultivate Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says that forest is Vrindavan. Vrindavan forest. This is the best place to cultivate Krishna consciousness. And so the banaprastis, they are coming from the chest of Krishna. So heart, brahmacharya is a heart, banaprastis is chest, nearby. And then the sannyasa is sirasi sthita. Sannyasa, sirasi sthita. Sannyasa ashram, Krishna said the sannyasis, they are coming from my head. They are situated on my head. Sannyasis. Sannyasis and Brahmanas, they are coming from Krishna's head. They are actually in Varnas, Brahmanas are the chief among all the Varnas. And in Ashramas, the Sannyasis are the chief. But even in between Varna and Ashram, the Sannyasis are the chief. Even they are chief of Brahmanas. So in this way Krishna is actually stating that where different ashramas and varnas are situated. So as far as brahmacharis are concerned, there are two types of brahmacharis, you all know. One is Upakurban Brahmachari, means those Brahmacharis would get Brahmachari training, enter into Brahmachari Ashram, take Brahmachari training, but they are unable to control their senses and they are not so dedicated, so they enter into Grihastha Ashram later on. Because they are not so dedicated, fully dedicated, and they have material desires. So they enter into Grihastha Ashram. So this type of brahmacharis who have desire to enter into Grihastha Ashram after proper training, they are called Upakurban Brahmacharis. But the other type of brahmacharis who are called Naishthik Brahmacharis, these Naishthik Brahmacharis have no material desires or they have no intention to enter into grihastha-ashram. And they are fully dedicated to the service of Guru and Krishna. So these Naishthik Brahmacharis, they are like Narad Muni, our ideal Brahmachari, Naishthik, the Kumaras. From the very beginning of their life, they remain Brahmachari for their entire life. Naishthika Brahmacharis. So, by the training, Brahmacharya Ashram training, when one understands the goal is Krishna, and the goal is to please Krishna, then they decide what is the use of entering into Grihastha Ashram and delaying the process. Delaying the process of coming closer to Krishna, or satisfying Krishna by dedicating one's life for the service of Krishna. So, these material desires are such, it can never be satisfied. Even if one tries to satisfy one's material desire, still he'll never be satisfied. Because it has been stated that the living entity is taking birth in different species. Birth after birth. And in every species, he is trying to fulfill his material desires. In every species. And still, he has not become satisfied yet. Though a living entity is doing sex life in every species, every birth, still he is not satisfied. So if he will enter into Grihastha Ashram or perform sex life in this life, so can he become satisfied and he will not do it again? It is not possible. So those who are thinking that by entering into Grihastha Ashram I will be satisfied and then I can put my mind fully in the service of Krishna, this is just imagination. Actually, the desire is deep rooted. The desire to enjoy is deep rooted. And when one tries to fulfill his desire, it is said that one is pouring ghee in the fire. It will burn more and more, more vigorously. So, an intelligent devotee, he tries to restrict his senses, not to satisfy his senses. That is intelligence, real intelligence. Because these senses will never be satisfied. They have not become satisfied in so many lifetimes. So another lifetime will give sense gratification, will never be satisfied. And the result will be, again we are entering into the cycle of birth and death. So an intelligent person will try to restrict his senses. And how one can restrict one's senses? By controlling the mind. Because the mind is controlling all the senses. So when in the material world we see that these senses, they are always running towards the sense objects. So the eyes, their sense object is, who can say? Form. The sense object of the eyes is form. So wherever there is a beautiful form, the eyes will automatically will go there. Even you may not know even when eyes are gone to see that beautiful form. This is a natural tendency to be attracted to the sense objects. In the same way that, like, we have tongue, what is the object of the tongue? Taste. So wherever nice taste available, nice thing available to taste, then naturally we will want to get it. Nice gulab jamun, nice rasgullas. So we need tests. In the same way, nose object is smell, and then ears, sound, nice sound, music, and then twak. Twak means sense of touch. The object is sense of touch. You want to touch someone, something. This is natural. And how this thing happens, how these senses are attracted to the sense objects? Because first we see, like through our eyes we see the sense object, a beautiful form. And then what happens? The reaction starts not in eyes, reaction starts in mind. As soon as you see a beautiful form, then in mind what do? You think. Dhyayato visayanupunsa sangastesu upajayate. Krishna says, that dhyayato. Now you think. After you see, you always think about that beautiful form in the mind. And when you think over and over again, there will be chain reaction. Once you start thinking about the sense object, then you cannot control your senses. There will be chain reaction. That is evident. Dhyayata visayanupunsa sangastesu upajayate. As soon as you think over the sense object, and then you will naturally desire to have that object. Sangat sanjayate kama. Then you develop lust. How can I get that object? Then you think of different ways and means how to get. And if you don't get, then you become angry. So, when you become angry, you lose your intelligence. In this way, you will be lost. You cannot control your senses. So, why Krishna is describing these same reactions? To warn us that if we are trying to control our senses, and because the first thing in Krishna consciousness is to control one's senses, control one's mind. If mind is controlled, then we can think of Krishna. If mind is not controlled, then Krishna will not come to our mind. So, how can we control our mind? That when the senses are going, are running to our sense objects, we cannot stop seeing or cannot stop smelling. But when it comes to our mind, the reaction, in mind, there, that time we should be very careful. Suppose we saw a beautiful form. the natural tendency is to think within the mind about the beautiful form. But to a Krishna conscious person, what he should do? Or a Krishna conscious brahmachari, what he should do? That as soon as the thoughts would come, we cannot stop thoughts. But he will not be disturbed by the thoughts. Like in the rainy season, so many rivers are entering into the ocean. Ocean is steady. The water is not increasing or decreasing. So in the same way, the thoughts may come, but we should not hover on those thoughts for longer time. Because once we start thinking about that sense object, then it will be very difficult to control our mind. From the very beginning, as soon as the thoughts come, what should we do? Immediately we drive away those thoughts from our mind, because mind cannot remain empty. Then as soon as we drive away that thought, means we bring Krishna to our mind. We think of Krishna. As soon as those thoughts come to our mind, we should immediately think of Krishna. Oh Krishna, please give me shelter at your lotus feet. Please protect me from these thoughts. We pray from within our heart and think of Krishna. Don't hover on those thoughts of sense gratification. And if we bring Krishna and think about Krishna, pray to Krishna, then that thoughts will go away. Then this chain reactions will not take place. But if we are conscious of this, then only we will be able to do this. If we are not conscious and we saw sense objects and we are thinking about that, then it will be very difficult. So Krishna says, Daivyesa Gunamai Mamamaya Durattaya. It is very difficult to overcome my material energy. But who can overcome material energy? Mangeva ja prapadyante maya metang tarantite. Whoever surrenders to me, he can only overcome maya. So when all these thoughts come to our mind, immediately surrender to Krishna. Please Krishna, protect me. I have no energy, no power to control my senses, control my mind. You are Hrishikesha. You are the master of the senses. So you can very easily control my senses. I have no power to control my senses. So please be merciful on me. Please let my mind and senses be engaged in your service. Let my mind always think of you, your glories, your pastimes. Let my senses be absorbed in your service. We always pray like this to Krishna. And when we pray to take shelter of Krishna, Krishna naturally will be merciful. He is very merciful towards his devotees. That's why Krishna says, Badhyamanapi Madhvakta Visayari Aditendriya. That my devotees, even if he has not control all of his senses, he is troubled by material sense gratification again and again. Praya pragalbhaya bhaktya visayer navibhuyate. But even if my devotee is troubled by sense gratificatory thoughts, still praya pragalbhaya bhaktya, by pragalbha bhakti, by sincere devotional service, he will not be overcome by material desires. Krishna gives protection to such devotees, that he more and more takes shelter of Krishna, because he is sincere in heart. He wants to surrender to Krishna, and Krishna will not drive away a sincere devotee. If someone is sincerely praying to Krishna, Krishna will help him. He will not be overcome by these material desires. So Krishna says this verse, that Visaya Navi Huyate, he will not be overcome by material desires. By devotion, by sincere devotion, he can overcome all of his material desires. And what is that sincere devotion? By hearing about Krishna, by chanting Krishna's holy name, taking shelter of Krishna's holy name, always thinking of Krishna. These are the ways how to perform devotional service to Krishna and keep our mind and senses engaged by serving Krishna, worshipping Krishna, offering prayers to Krishna. A brahmachari or a devotee is supposed to pray every day, every moment to Krishna. A devotee's life is full of prayers. He should always pray to Krishna, because he should always feel that I am unable to control my senses. I am unable to perform service at Krishna's lotus feet. Always a devotee should be humble in heart. It is not that, oh, I am brahmachari, I know everything, become very proud. Then that type of devotee will fall down. If pride comes, he will fall down. So humility actually is the ornament for all ashrams. For brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyasi, humility is the ornament. And Krishna is very much pleased with devotees who are very humble in heart. And Krishna helps those devotees. So Krishna is speaking about the brahmacharis, that to maintain one's brahmacharya life or a life of celibacy, how a brahmachari should act. It is very important to know that how we can act in brahmachari life so we can control our senses and mind and always think of Krishna and be engaged in Krishna's service. Like Srila Prabhupada says, that for Krishna conscious brahmacharis, the essential values of self-control, purity, and obedience to a bona fide spiritual master are just as necessary today as they were in Vedic times. So though Krishna has described about brahmachari's dress, and brahmachari's activities, a brahmachari should wear bark of a tree or deer skin, all those things, but it may not be possible in Kali Yuga. We may not be able to do this, or we may not be able to perform as it is the rules and regulations of brahmacharya ashram. But Srila Prabhupada says that even today, even in this age of Kali, these three things are very, very important for brahmacharis, Krishna conscious brahmacharis, that they should have self-control, means controlling the senses and mind. This is must for every brahmachari. And then purity. Purity in consciousness. When we control our senses and mind, naturally purity will develop. Purity is our force. Prabhupada says, purity is the force. So brahmacharis must maintain purity. So the purity will come externally by taking bath 3 times, but at least 2 times. 3 times bath means morning, noon and evening. But if not possible, at least 2 times Prabhupada has mentioned that we should take bath, whether summer, winter, whatever, 2 times bath. In this way we can be externally purified. And internally we can purify our mind and senses by chanting the holy name of the Lord. So when we chant the holy name, we remember Krishna, then our mind and senses are purified. Our heart is purified. In this way we can maintain our purity of heart and external purity by taking bath. And this is very important, another aspect, obedience to one's bona fide spiritual master. A brahmachari must be obedient to his spiritual master. If he is not obedient, he cannot make progress in spiritual life. Because this obedience to Krishna starts from the spiritual master. How much we are surrendered to Krishna, how much we are obedient to Krishna's instructions, it is tested when we surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. How much we are surrendered to a spiritual master, how much we are obedient to his instructions, from this it will be understood how much we are surrendered to Krishna. Because the spiritual master is the external manifestation of Krishna. And he is teaching the disciple how to surrender to Krishna by giving instructions. But if the brahmachari will not be surrendered to the instruction of the spiritual master, then he cannot make any progress in spiritual life. So it is very important to be obedient. That's why brahmachari is supposed to stay in the ashram of the guru or the spiritual master. Brahmachari gurukule vasan guru rahitam. A brahmachari should stay in guru's ashram not for himself, for the cause of his guru or the spiritual master. A brahmachari should not stay in gurukul for his own sense gratification. That's why he's supposed to follow the order of the spiritual master by surrendering to the spiritual master, and whatever he says, a brahmachari is supposed to do. In this way he will become humble. Otherwise, his ego will remain. And this false ego is a blockade actually in the path of devotional service. That's why a brahmachari is supposed to learn humility in guru's ashram by following guru's instruction. When Krishna and Balaram first time went to Gurukul, after going from Vrindavan, they went to Mathura. From Mathura, they just disappeared, Krishna and Balaram. Many people did not know that where Krishna and Balaram are. They did not know. They just disappeared. Of course, his parents knew. So for 2-3 months, they were not seen outside. And they straight went to Sandipani Muni's ashram. And when they arrived near Sandipani Muni's ashram, they left their chariot and told the charioteer to go back. They went to Sandipani Muni and begged from him to give shelter in his ashram and train them up in spiritual knowledge. Though they are the Supreme Lord and all knowledge is coming from them, but still they are setting the example for us. How one should surrender to a guru? So initially Sandipani Muni refused to accept Krishna Balaram as his disciple in his ashram. Sandipani Muni tested Krishna and Balaram and he said, "Oh, you are king's sons, princess, so you have been born and brought up in opulence, so that opulence you cannot find in our simple ashram. So how can you stay in your ashram? All those facilities in your palace will not be available here. You have to sleep on the floor. You have to take the cows to the forest for grazing. Sometimes you have to go to fetch wood, dry wood, for cooking from the forest. And you have to go for begging for food. So many things you have to do in the ashram. So sometimes you have to fast. So you cannot do all these things. Better you go back to Mathura." But Krishna Balaram assured Sandipani Muni, no, whatever you say we'll do. Whatever are the ashram rules we will follow. But then to test Krishna and Balaram, then Sandipani Muni said, "Okay, the first test for Krishna and Balaram was," Sandipani Muni ordered them, "Okay, you first go and beg." So for a king's son who does not know how to beg, was not very easy. What to speak of king's son? Even ordinary people, you tell them our brahmacharis go and beg, they will be hesitant. They will think, "Oh, I was such a rich man's son. In our home we had cars, we had such facility. How can I go and beg?" So they become reluctant how to speak of begging. But Krishna Balaram, they are king's son. And Sandipani Muni first started their test by ordering them to go and beg. And Krishna Balaram, without being hesitant, they accepted Sandipani Muni's order. And very happily they went and begged. And whatever they got, this is the rule. Whatever you get, you cannot take yourself. You have to bring everything to the spiritual master or the authority. You cannot take anything from that. And if the guru will ask you to eat, then only you can eat, otherwise you will fast. By chance the guru forgets to call the disciple to eat, then the disciple has to fast. He cannot just go to the kitchen and take prasadam of his own. These are strict regulations for brahmacharis. Of course, Prabhupada has given us so much facility. He has made our brahmacharya ashram easy. So, there is no living problem or eating problem for our ISKCON brahmacharis. Only problem is to control our senses. And surrender to the instruction of the spiritual master and spiritual authorities. That is main problem. To give up our false ego and surrender to the authority. And control our senses. Which is very important in brahmacharya ashram. So it has been stated, Lord Krishna speaks, that to become humble, what one should do? One should serve the spiritual master. So how one can serve? Sushrusamana acharyam sadopasit nichavat. One should stay with the spiritual master as his humble servant, nichavat, thinking oneself very lowly. Not that, I cannot do so many services. A brahmachari cannot say like this or think like this. Then the pride will come. False ego will come in his heart. People think like this. So that's why Krishna says a brahmachari should stay in a humble state of mind and serve the spiritual master and worship him. And when the spiritual master will work, he will never go ahead of the spiritual master. He always stay behind. Jana. Or sadhya, when the spiritual master sleeps, the disciple should sleep nearby. And when the spiritual master sits in a seat, the disciple mati durekru tanjali. He should stay, he should stand, not sit. He should stand near the spiritual master with folded hands, waiting for the order of the spiritual master. In this way, a disciple will remain humble. False ego will not take over. And he will be always waiting to the order of the guru. Whatever the spiritual master says, he will do. And when one remains humble, it becomes very easier to control one's senses. So, another thing Krishna says, that evam vritta gurukula basat bhoga vivarjita. The brahmachari should stay in Guru's ashram, giving up sense gratification. He should always try to please the spiritual master, not please himself by getting sense gratificatory things. And vidya samapyate javat vibhrat vrata akhandita. And he should maintain the life of celibacy until he finishes his education. This is for those upakurvan brahmachari, those who are thinking to enter into grihasthasram. But those who are naistik brahmachari, they have to maintain the life of celibacy throughout their life. Narsa Krishna said, Reto no avikirya jatu brahma bratadhara swayam. A brahma bratadhara earth means a brahmachari who is trying to retain his semen. He should never discharge semen of his own. He should not endeavor to discharge semen. If by chance the semen is automatically discharged, then there is one activity to do for a brahmachari. What he should do? He should immediately take bath. Abhagaya. Abhakirna abhagaya apsu jatasu tripadam japet. He should immediately take bath and chant Gayatri Mantra or chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is mentioned for the brahmacharis. But the best thing for brahmacharis is to control their food habits so they will not discharge semen. Because many brahmacharis, they do not know what to eat and what not to eat. That's why nowadays whatever food we get, no pure food we get. This is all contaminated and all poison, all chemicals. That's why it is very difficult to retain semen. But still we can try to avoid few things by which we can retain our semen, like taking fried things. Many brahmacharis like that. Deep fried things, pakoda and so many other things. If you take those things, deep fried things, you cannot retain your semen. Deep fried things and sweets, these two things brahmacharis must avoid if they want to return their semen. Apart from this, we are getting so many different kinds of food which is not actually healthy. So it is very difficult in Kali Yuga, but still at least we can try this. And if by chance we discharge semen, then this thing Krishna is prescribing for brahmacharis to do. They should take immediate bath and chant Hare Krishna or chant Gayatri Mantra. And then controlling food habits, and then another important thing to control senses. Specifically, as far as women are concerned, the brahmacharis, strinam nirikshanam sparsam savapa khalanadikam. A brahmachari should not look towards women. So, generally it is described that a brahmachari, if by chance he has to talk to a woman for some service, a brahmachari should, instead of looking towards the face of the woman, he should look towards the feet of the woman. In that way, he can maintain his life of celibacy. Always, brahmachari should look towards the feet of women, not to their face. And then, strinam, what to speak of, looking again and again towards the face of a woman. This is not advice. Krishna is speaking this, that the brahmachari should not strinang nirikshana, how to speak of sparsa, touching a woman, is strictly forbidden from brahmacharis. And savapa, even talking to women unnecessarily. No work, still you like to talk. Sometimes for service you have to talk, but restricted. As far as service is concerned, then. And that too also not looking towards their face when talking. And one should avoid looking towards women, talking with them, touching them. How to speak of joking and sporting with women. No joke with women or sporting with them. Or even sometimes a woman is holding her baby, and sometimes brahmacharis go and take the baby and take it in their lap. This is strictly forbidden. Never do that. What to speak up from a woman? Don't take any babies in your lap. You may love the babies to make them Krishna conscious, you can teach them, but don't take in their lap. Then you can, the thought may come, santana sukha. So brahmacharis are strictly forbidden to do this. And then a brahmachari, actually this is not only for brahmachari, this is for other three ashrams, brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasis. They all have to follow these rules. Grihasthas may do that, is a different thing, but not for brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasis. And they are also expected not to associate with those people who are attached to sex life. So brahmacharis, vanaprastha and sannyasis, they should not associate with people who are attached to sex life. Or they not even see or talk about sex life. So, or even some animals are having sex life, one should not even look towards there. So in this way one should try to control one's senses. And there are so many rules and regulations, I cannot finish already 3:10. But anyway, our brahmachari should remain saucha, achamanam, like if you go to take if you are going to bathroom, specifically latrine, you must take a bath. One must take a bath, wash his clothes. And even a brahmachari is going to pass urine, he should wash his hand, feet and genital. So all these things have to be followed for brahmacharis to remain clean. And after eating, one must wash his hand. Sometimes people eat and forget washing their hand. Sometimes they do that. So this is very important. Cleanliness, saucham, achamanam, snanam, sandhya, and worshipping Krishna, visiting the holy places. And avakhya, which is not to be eaten, one should avoid that. Which is not to be spoken, or sambhasya, that should be avoided. And then aspasya, what not to be touched, one should avoid also that. So there are so many rules and regulations to follow for brahmacharis. And Lord Krishna says, yeah, by doing all these austerities, by following all these principles, and always thinking of me, by mind, words, and by body. Body, mind, and words. One can burn all the reactions of his past activities and can become mind devotee. So just to become Krishna's devotee, one has to follow all these principles. and a brahmachari is supposed to become non-violent. He should not become violent towards other living entities. And then he should always be truthful. A brahmachari should not speak lies. He should always be truthful. He should not steal others' property. Sometimes brahmacharis do that. They take other brahmacharis' clothes. That is stealing. Without permission, if you're taking someone's things, that is comes under stealing. One should not do that. Or sometimes they steal deity paraphernalia thinking this is Krishna Prasad. So, one should not do this. Akama akradho alobhata. That brahmachari should be free from lust, anger and greed. Bhutapriya, and he should be favorably disposed towards all living entities, thinking that they are the residents of Krishna. Krishna is sitting within their hearts. And in this way, a brahmachari will not quarrel with others, because he will always think that Krishna is sitting within everyone's heart, in all hearts of the living entities. So he should think that they are his friends. He should be disposed towards them in this way. And he should not quarrel with anyone or think someone my friend or someone my enemy. So in this way he should be samo. He should be equal with everyone. With equal vision he should see all the living entities. And in that condition, one can actually become a devotee of Krishna. When one follows all these principles, then one will become eligible to become Krishna's devotee. Not that just by dress we become brahmachari or become Krishna's devotee. We have to follow all these things. These things are expected from us. This is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Have any questions? Okay. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jaya Brahmacharis ki jai. Hare Krishna.